The bill that would raise the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour over a six-year span passed the U.S. House yesterday. That would mean more than doubling the current minimum wage, which right now sits at a little over $7 an hour. The plan was a big priority for Democrats, passing mostly along party lines. Here's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi talking after that vote yesterday.
The Raise the Wage Act gives up to 33 million Americans a long overdue raise. Yay. 33 million Americans. And lifts so many people out of poverty. This bill honors the dignity of work, grows the economy, and upholds the bedrock idea of fairness in our country, that hard work deserves a decent wage.
That said, the bill's not likely to make it through the Senate. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said the chamber will not take up the bill. David Pate is the chair and associate professor of social work at UW-Milwaukee's School of Social Welfare. He's also an affiliate professor with the Institute for Research on Poverty at UW-Madison. David, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for inviting me, Rob.
Can you talk a little more about what this plan for House Democrats would do over time?
Well, this bill, H.R. 582, what it would do would, one, phase in over 6 years. The whole idea of raising the minimum wage, the first amount would be $8.40, I think it is. And then we would gradually get to where we're at $15. It's going to do some significant things for families, in particular women and people of color, and particularly those who are rurally located in our country.
Let's talk about the history of the minimum wage a little bit. It is where it is now. It's been there for a while. Can you talk about what that minimum wage means today?
Sure. The Fair Labor Standards Act, which started in 1939 under Hugo Black, who was the senator who became a Supreme Court justice, it was done to ensure that all work could be fairly rewarded and that regular employment would provide a decent standard of living. We have not had any raise around the minimum wage for the last 10 years. The first minimum wage, just so you know, was 25 cents, and that would be about $4 now. But the minimum wage has been something that is required. You must pay people at minimum wage, but there are certain professions where you don't have to pay a minimum wage based on the tips that they receive.
And this plan would also, I believe, phase out the reduced federal minimum for tipped workers?
It definitely would, and that would be an excellent opportunity to provide a better standard of living for those who are dependent on tips. Now, the one caveat about being a tip worker is that if you receive at least $30 in tips, you don't have to pay them the minimum wage. But you're supposed to, if someone gets below $30 in tips, they're supposed to be able to get the federal minimum wage.
When the minimum wage is stagnant, the number stays the same over time, that doesn't really mean it's the same over time, right? Because of how inflation and the cost of living work.
Exactly. Because, you know, due to the fact that there's inflation and there's also the cost of living and different things that change over time. So therefore, the current amount of money that people have now in minimum wage for the last 10 years has decreased their ability to buy and spend the same way.
The Congressional Budget Office says it's a mixed bag here. 1.3 million people could be lifted out of poverty, they say, but about the same number of jobs could be lost. And that's always an argument against the idea of increases, especially substantial increases, to the minimum wage. How do you weigh that?
But also the CBO does say, too, the 17 million jobs would also be affected by raising their pay. It also says that still the benefits outweigh the losses because people will have more money. There'll be more money spent in the economy. And also another study, if we look at the CBO study, that's one way, but the EPI estimates that 28 million workers will be affected, with another 11.6 million workers being affected, because if someone raised salaries going to the 15, others would be up raised as well to retain those workers.
Talking about the minimum wage with David Pate from the UW-Milwaukee and UW-Madison. You can join in with your thoughts on the idea of increasing the minimum wage. You can call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. David, you mentioned earlier the impact this could have on people of color. Are people of color often in these minimum wage jobs?
Definitely. Based on education level, access, who you know, who gives you a job, there's a large disproportionate number of blacks and brown people who are in service industry jobs. However, the majority of people who will be affected by this bill will be white people, then blacks, then Latinx, and then those who are Asian. Disproportionately, though, it will be the reverse. So it will be blacks, Latinx, whites, and then Asians. But again, if you do a race and gender analysis, it's women who are black with children being a single parent.
We've seen some cities and states tackle the minimum wage on their own. And some people have made the case that that's better because, okay, if you have a high cost of living city, you need that higher minimum wage. There are areas of the country with more depressed economies. It's going to be harder for employers to pay those wages, and they're disproportionate to what it costs, say, for housing in some places. Is there anything to that argument?
Well, let's take Wisconsin, for example. Wisconsin is maintained their minimum wage. If they were to raise the wages to be at least $13, I think it's $13.28, a person will be able to afford a one-bedroom apartment in a much easier way than they are depending on a minimum wage dollar. Also, we are finding, and what the researchers have said, is that many people who will be greatly affected will be those in the South. The South is predominantly black and brown. There's a predominantly number of people who work in the service industry. So by location and race and gender, there's a lot of things that could help, a lot of ways that people could be definitely helped if this was to change.
Some people point toward larger corporations saying, okay, they can afford this. This maybe means smaller dividends, smaller profit margins. But we hear a lot of times when we talk about minimum wage increases, and we may hear today from smaller business owners who say, I'd love to pay my workers more, but the labor cost would really cut into a very narrow profit margin. I'm just kind of staying ahead of the game here. Are there sectors of the economy that could lose out here?
There are. I mean, we have to be honest. There will be small business and family-owned businesses that will definitely be affected by this particular requirement of a federal minimum at $15. However, there is a gradual phase-in. It's not immediate. There are major corporations like McDonald's, Walmart, Target, Amazon, who have decided to make this an issue. Three of those, Amazon, Target, and McDonald's, have already decided to move to the $15 an hour minimum wage. So there's ways that this could work. However, the small business person will be affected. But I think looking at the gradual phase-in, it could be a way to help them not have the hit be so hard at first.
Why do we end up on the number 15? A lot of the activism, I mean, 15 is in the name of some of the activist drives here. What is it about that number, or at least that range?
Well, $15 is not a living wage. It's a wage that is better than this particular one. But if you look at our current way of looking at how we define poverty, if you look at our current minimum wage, our current minimum wage is at a poverty rate. If you are a full-time worker making minimum wages, you're going to make about $15,000 a year. If you're going to go with this new figure, it's going to be about $30,000 a year. So the idea of the fight for 15 has been a long term mantra that people have used because they're looking at there are ways for you to have a better standard of living for someone making $30,000 a year versus 15. And also it will lift people out of poverty, at least 1.3 million people, based on our current way of defining poverty.
An argument we used to hear a lot against increasing the minimum wage was the idea that the minimum wage jobs are the teens, the younger workers, their starter jobs. They're going to move into something else down the line. If that ever was true, is it true now?
No, people often think it's the teens. There was a major study by the Economic Policy Institute out of D.C. that shows that primary people who are working in those jobs are primarily women with children in the age about in their mid-30s. Some teens may have those jobs, but that's not what they're dependent on for their day-to-day existence. It's primarily those who are in their early 30s who have these jobs. And even now with an aging population, people are in their 60s, 70s working at McDonald's or other places like that where they're minimum wage and serving in the service industry.
What do you make of the rise of minimum wage as a pretty prominent political issue? We have the fight for 15, often including restaurant fast food workers. Now we have it very prominent with the House actually passing a bill that probably, again, won't pass the Republican-controlled Senate. But it's definitely on the table in a way that it doesn't seem like it was a few years ago.
There's been a major discussion around inequality and how do we deal with inequality. People like my colleagues, Sandy Darity and Derek Hamilton, who have done a lot of work looking at the whole idea of providing baby bonds and other ways and reparations, has been a major discussion. But also amongst the Democratic Party, they've decided to have an economic platform to reduce inequality amongst those who have historically not had the same access to services and benefits that others have had access to historically.
We're talking to David Pate, chair and professor of social work at UW-Milwaukee. He's with us to talk about a plan that passed the U.S. House yesterday. It would raise the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour, step by step for a six-year period, not likely to pass or maybe even get a vote in the U.S. Senate. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the idea of gradually raising the minimum wage to that $15 an hour mark? Do you work at minimum wage yourself? If so, what's it like trying to cover bills, housing, and a minimum wage salary? If you're a business owner, what would this kind of change mean for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about a plan that would more than double the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour over the next 6 years. The plan passed with a majority of Democratic votes in the U.S. House yesterday. It's not expected to pass the U.S. Senate. David Pate is with us from UW-Milwaukee School of Social Welfare and the Institute for Research on Poverty at UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Should we raise the minimum wage? Why or why not? Are you living at minimum wage yourself? Tell us what that is like. What would this increase mean for you? Call 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Lynn is with us in Milwaukee. Lynn, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Lynn?
Well, I run nonprofit organizations, homeless shelters, soup kitchens, food pantries. And we had to cut health insurance last year on our full-time staff people just to give $12.50 an hour, to go from $10 to $12.50 an hour. I don't think we need a $15 an hour minimum. I think what we need is health insurance. You know, it doesn't make any difference. You can't pay people $2 an hour more and expect that they're going to get their bills paid. What we really need is to be able to provide health insurance for them. If I could hire people at $12.50 an hour, if we had health insurance provided.
Lynn, thanks a lot for the call. What do you think, David?
I agree with Lynn that people should have health care access, but also I think that people should be paid for their worth. I think that we should have a minimum wage that allows people to be able to afford an apartment. I really applaud a nonprofit that's at least paying someone $12, but as research has shown, at least a $13 plus hourly wage in Wisconsin would allow for decent housing and access to decent housing or a one bedroom apartment in Wisconsin. So I think it's one, you don't want to give up one for the other. You need both in order to have a decent way of living in this country.
Thanks, Lynn, for the call. We'll go to Kevin now in Dodge County. Kevin, hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
What do you think?
You know, I think, and this is a question, not a statement. So it's going to be a question. But Oregon tried this, $15 an hour. And what happened was these small businesses with 3-4 employees, they shut their doors. And then Oregon, I think it was Oregon, but then they repealed that to try to get these businesses back. You know, who's going to pay the $15 an hour? Big companies can afford that, but little startups, you know, the thing that made this country, little small startups, they can't afford it. If their employee is only making them $9 an hour and they pay them $15 an hour, they're not going to be able to pay their electric bills and stuff.
Kevin, thanks for the call. What have we seen in other places that have tried this, David?
I mean, many places are definitely seeing the issues that small businesses are having or family-owned businesses. They are not always being able to attend to the idea of having a higher minimum wage. I'm not going to sit here and say that it's going to be easy. I do think we need to decide as a country, how do we value people's worth as a worker? How do we decide what is important to provide in terms of service and pay them for what they provide?
Thanks a lot for the call, Kevin. Joseph joins us now in Madison. Joseph, hello.
Hi there. Thanks for taking me. I was wondering if you think that it will have a detrimental effect on the people that are currently earning less than the $15 an hour wage, because don't you figure that there's going to be greater competition at $15 than there is at, say, $9?
So more people, I guess, competing for that $15 job, it might lure more people into the job market, maybe, David?
I'm not sure. Really, I have to admit, I'm not sure how to really answer that one. I think it would be a great idea to have more people lured into the market. We need workers. We need people paying taxes. We need people to be able to spend money. That would be a great thing. But also, I think we need to attend to the fact that some people have not been in the market in a way that allows them to spend and take care of their families. So I think we also need to have accompanying policies that are not just This one policy, there needs to be a better look at earned income tax credit, relaxing licensing of occupational jobs, improving infrastructure, spending more on low-income housing. I think there's a number of things that need to go along with this particular policy.
Thanks for the call. We're talking to David Pate from the UW-Milwaukee School of Social Welfare and the Institute for Research on Poverty at UW-Madison, looking at the minimum wage after the U.S. House passed a plan that would increase it over 6 years, ultimately ending up at $15 an hour after that six-year span, not expected to pass in the Senate. Back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Mark joins us in Madison. Mark, hi.
Hi. So they're not addressing the root problem, which has been for 20 years we've been exporting jobs for minimally skilled people to China and elsewhere. So while General Motors and Ford have announced they're going to stop building cars in the U.S., they're building more and more every year in China. And those are the people that are now going to have minimum, are in the minimum wage situation. They used to be $60,000, $80,000, $100,000 a year jobs. Those jobs have been exported. And instead of dealing with that, what we have in Congress is a bunch of lazy individuals that just want to throw a Band-Aid on it. They want to jump up the minimum wage, which will result in more inflation. And in the long run, those people will be even worse off, even if we go to $20 an hour minimum wage.
Mark, thanks for the call. Mark, saying the root cause is we've lost the good-paying jobs that people used to be able to get without a college degree.
That, I mean, as someone who studies industry in Milwaukee, that's true. It's a big deal because it's much cheaper to do some of this work somewhere else. But again, that's a bigger, larger discussion that we need to have as a country about how do we value people's worth and what they contribute to society in terms of their how we should pay them.
Thanks for the call. Todd joins us next in Merrill. Todd, hi.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good. What do you think?
I think the minimum wage should be raised a little bit slightly, but the company I work for, we can't even find people to come and work for us, and we're paying starting and no experience at $22, $23 an hour. And the trickle-down effect from, like, grocery stores, your can of corn is going to be $5 now.
Todd, thanks a lot for the call. So he's worried that costs for consumers would go up if, say, the grocery store had to pay people more money.
I'm sure that economists have looked at this particular issue. I'm sure that our current administration has thought about this and previous administrations. I think that we need to really figure out how to do this. I think it's, if nothing else, a conversation has begun about why do we need to increase the minimum wage. And for the last 10 years, we haven't done anything. So we need to figure out what do we want to pay people who are providing daily services that are very important to the operations of our society.
Thanks for the call. I wanted to get a little more into inequality. You mentioned that earlier, David. What do you see when you look at inequality in the United States? Has it been on the rise in recent decades?
I mean, depending on what cities and states you look at, inequality has been a consistent issue within our country. Historically, we've made policies that have been federal and state that have ensured some people do not have the same access to services. One of the benefits that has been seen by this particular bill has been done by particular researchers at UC Berkeley, is that they said the one thing this would do was allow people to have the opportunity to have access. I do think that inequality, if it's not on the rise, is still at a place that is very disproportionately black and brown people and women who don't have the same opportunities that they would have if they were within a different space or different gender or race. It's just a reality. And I think we need to figure out how we're going to handle that.
And on a related issue, and a bit of a tangent, you mentioned some of your colleagues working on the idea of baby bonds.
Yes.
I've heard the phrase. I don't know anything about how they work. What would that be?
Sandy Darity and Derek Hamilton, Darity, who's at North Carolina, and Hamilton, who's at Ohio State University, had proposed this idea several years ago that people who are born in our country, every child should be guaranteed some level of financial benefit upon birth. Depending on their family's income, it wouldn't be the same, but everyone should start out at a space where they all have some equal space, equal footing as to how they decide to either go to college or go into a trade school. But we as a country would decide to make sure all children, no matter who they are, have some way of being able to be taken care of. So that's why it's called baby bonds. It starts at birth and it goes through your life till you're 18.
And David, just in our last few moments, do you expect to see minimum wage be talked about a lot? Probably won't pass the Congress right now. Is it going to be a big issue, do you think, on the campaign trail 2020?
Oh, I think it's going to be a major campaign trail. I think that one of the major platforms for the those who identify as Democratic are that they want to look at this whole idea of economic opportunities, economic policy. And because of this particular bill, and it's been a while for it to be passed, they're definitely going to say that we need to be able to provide people with wages that are going to allow them to take care of themselves and their families in ways that are economically solvent.
David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
That's David Pate with UW-Milwaukee School of Social Welfare and the Institute for Research on Poverty at UW-Madison. He's with us today to talk about the idea of a federal $15 minimum wage. The U.S. House approved a plan to do that yesterday. Looks like it's pretty unlikely to pass the Senate. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said he will not bring that to a vote. Coming up Monday on Central Time, white nationalist movements have captured a lot of attention in the United States in recent years. We'll talk to the author of a new book who digs into their ideology, their public relations, and their dream of a white ethno-state, and along with that, the rise of the so-called alt-right movement. As communities around the United States prepare for the floods of the future, a lot of them rely on levees. But our guest says those levees are not always reliable when the water starts to rise, and communities should start looking at different ways to deal with the risks of flooding. And it's the biggest play in the world of baseball. It's happening more and more often. Is it bad for the game? Our guest says the major leagues are facing a home run crisis. You can let us know what you think. If you're a baseball fan, are there too many home runs? Nothing really happens during them. Let us know if you think it's good for the game. You can email right now, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at Central Time WPR. That look at some of the top news of the day. It's coming up Monday here on Central Time.